R-U-C-H. The art of living lies less in eliminating our troubles than in growing with them. The art of living lies less in eliminating our... Wouldn't we like to just eliminate all our troubles? Wouldn't that be fun? I wish I could just carry a big old eraser and just eliminate. Just not eliminate people, eliminate troubles. I love people. So the art of living lies less in eliminating our troubles than in growing with them. The seat in the heart of every trauma, in the pith of every emergency, there's something in there that will help us grow if we give it to God. Praise the Lord. Is that okay? Okay, what to do in an emergency? I wish I could tell you that this is over, but it's not. Actually, I had at least two emergencies this morning. I mean, why have one emergency when you can have several? Have you noticed this, that problems usually come in clusters? Raise your hand if you've ever noticed that. I got help for you. So do miracles. Miracles come in clusters. One of the things that I did this morning when I saw Sister Joy was checked on her to make sure she was okay. I will blame it on my exuberance, but it was really more I hate to lose. She's so durable and such a sweetheart. And I mean, there's some people that would, you know, would limp around for 6 months. She's only going to limp for two. No, I'm sorry. We had musical chairs, and I was not going to participate. I had made up my mind, and my wife pretty well, like, put her meat hooks into me. You are going to do this. She said it nicer than that, but not much nicer, but a little nicer than that. It's like, okay, because you know why I didn't want to do it? Because I know how competitive I am. I also know when I get to throwing myself around, I can hurt people. And I don't want to do that either. I hate getting beat by a woman. I'm by anybody. I said, Sister Joy, you beat me fair and square. So that last chair just didn't have enough room. Now, I noticed that some of you, ended up on one chair. And it was like a mixed gender deal. You know, you just keep moving. Okay, we won't talk about that. Musical chairs. But I did lose. But God was good. I'm so glad that Joy is all right. She's so sweet. She's so precious. Okay. I discovered, actually, this emergency started last night. There are at least two people in the building that know what I'm referring to, and they've been sworn to silence. That's how serious this is. It didn't come out of sinfulness or, you know, oh, rats. No story of great sin. No, it's not about that. It is about making mistakes and maybe being in a hurry. So here we go. My first recommendation to you. See, now remember, I'm in the middle of this. So Sister Regina, I can really talk about it. Because none of us have ever been in an emergency, right? Wrong. I would guess there's a large number of us, or at least several of us that might be in one, and I want to help you. So here we go. Genesis 6, verse 5, be my first scripture. I'm going to give you some scriptures and some ideas. Actually, what I'm going to try to share with you is what I've been doing in the middle of this emergency. It could be, I'm not claiming it. It could be a disaster. I'm not claiming that. I'm claiming that somehow God is helping us in the middle of this. Okay. So first of all, stop. Slow yourself down and think clearly. And I'm saying that because what happens sometimes is our thoughts run away with us. And your mind will beat the living daylights out of you. Don't let it do that. Now, you could claim the scripture, and now, and I didn't have this in my notes, but there'll be things, I didn't have enough time to put all this in my notes. But now, somebody find the scripture, but now we have the mind of Christ. Remember the scripture says that? But now we have the mind, you think, that God has a good mind? Uh-huh. And so, but now we have the mind of Christ. Don't let the devil hijack your brain. Stop, slow down, and just ask God to help. You know, just think clearly. Okay. And from Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Your imagination, some of you that have been involved in building businesses and different things, I'm sure you've had teaching along this line, but your imagination is one of the most powerful things about you. I like to call it this: I need to do some imagineering. Image engineering. I need to see the victory. I need to see help. I need to see glory. I need to see beyond the problem. Image engineering. Imagineering. Okay. What'd you just do? I just made up a word. Okay. In case you didn't catch it. Okay. Okay. So, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continued. You may be seated. So, evil continued. So, the enemy loves to use your mind. Don't give it to him. Don't lose. What's that old bumper sticker? Of all the things I lost, I miss my mind the most. Listen, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have, ladies and gentlemen, can I say it this way? There's coming a day when you're going to have an emergency. I have a great concern about the future of what's happening in our country. We now have thousands of people who claim allegiance to ISIS in this country. What we saw in San Bernardino, I'm sorry, but I'm hoping it's not. I don't want to prophesy. I'm not a negative prophet. Okay, as a matter of fact, I belong to a nonprofit organization. I'm sorry. But I'm telling you that we live in disastrous times. And maybe these words will come back to us because I believe that we're going to experience and walk through some trauma. What does that scripture say about must through great tribulation enter into the kingdom of God? That's in the book of Acts, I believe. Anybody find the other scripture? The mind of Christ? For who hath known the mind of the Lord? That's it, Gwen, thank you. That he may instruct him. But we have, and this is something that you can claim, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, I literally had my wife drive so I could work on a message because it became clear to me that God wanted me to teach from the middle of my pain. Because your pain is always instructional. Don't waste it. There's a teacher in there somewhere. And when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So we can claim this, but now we have the mind of Christ. And we can claim that on several levels. For instance, when you need to know something that he knows. Okay? And I'm going to throw another step in here. When we need to know something that he knows that we need to know, we can claim his mind. But now I have the mind of Christ. But now I have the mind. I claim, and I was literally praying this way. Lord, I need a word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12, I need a word of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, before you buy that car that's going to keep you repairing it for 4 years, why don't you ask the Holy Ghost for direction? Before you buy that house that's going to keep you hopping for several years into the future, repairing things you didn't know was wrong with it, why don't you ask the Holy Ghost to give you supernatural peace? Is that okay? I'm really just going to try to help somebody here today. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know, I know that the Greek word for rule, the New Testament was translated from the Greek. The Greek word for rule means umpire. But let the peace of God umpire your heart. There's things that I've tried to do, and I just felt like I had no peace about it. Yeah. It was the umpire going, strike one! There are other times when we were in the will of God. Wednesday night was one of those occasions when we were ministering, and I'm just going to do this little, and it just blows up in the Holy Ghost. It just, wow. And we're incredible, takes us captive. We're hostages to the amazing. Okay, so. All right. So claim a word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe that we can claim a word. Okay, what's a word of knowledge? There's a gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 called the word of knowledge. And the Bible says, but the manifestation, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So we can claim, Lord, you live in here. I need the manifestation of the word of knowledge because I need to know something that I don't know. You know in your omniscience. Give me a piece of your omniscience to help me in this situation. I lost something years ago. I was in Bible school, and I lost a document that I had worked on and prepared. And I don't know how I did this because I only had a little small dorm room, right? I was in the chapel, Christy, praying about it. And I was asking God where it was. Too many times we don't ask God for his help. I was asking God where it was. And now while I was praying, in my mind, I don't know how to describe this, but in my spirit, I saw myself taking that document and putting it in a certain place in my dorm room. I got up from the chapel, walked down to my dorm room, went exactly to what I saw in prayer, and it was there. A problem is a chance to... Ooh, I feel some Holy Ghost moving on me now. A problem is an opportunity to prove God in different ways. You've been asking God to use you in the gifts of the Spirit, so he's going to give you a problem, put you under stress, so you'll start using them. Because they're already in you. You just need to turn it loose. I don't want to scare you, but all nine giftings of the Holy Ghost are in you potentially, but through your action and faith, you can potentiate them. Wow. Don't let the devil hijack your imagination. It will beat you to death. Don't let that happen. So it grieved him in the early days before the judgment of the flood that men's imagination was evil constantly. Your imagination is a powerful tool. Do not loan it to the devil. Here's a great scripture. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Oh, thank you, Sister Gwen, for that. Oh, you're on your toes today. Oh, man. Isaiah, thanks to our techies, really... just too amazing. And I know it's not easy, but they really work hard. Isaiah 26:3. I love the scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind. You know what some of us, why we have so many problems? Your mind runs away with you. Your emotions take flight. And you are drama in a skirt. Or drama in a pair of slacks. Gotta get us all in there. It covers both genders, I hope. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Okay? So I refused to let my flesh or the enemy imagine the worst, because the worst in this case, this emergency, is really, really bad. As a matter of fact, we're going moment by moment, and I've got somebody monitoring things in this service, monitoring my emergency. Can you see that I'm not making this up? This is for real. But I'm so happy in God. One of the things, this is not in my notes, but I'll just share it with you. One of the things that came to me in this morning was, you know, ultimately, we're in the hands of God. We can act like we got all the answers. We don't, hon. Honey, we do not have all the answers. We know who is the answer. The living answer. And sometimes God will allow things to happen so that you get a fresh sense of the fact that you really aren't in control. You want to believe you are, but you're not. And one crisis can throw you and me into a tailspin. It doesn't have to, but it can. So what do? We lean into God. And that's into my next step, and that is simply that I prayed, really, really prayed. Okay, what am I teaching on? What to do in an emergency. Okay, first of all, don't let your brain, your mind run away. Don't let it go crazy. Don't let it beat you up. Okay, don't let your imagination go crazy. Second one is, I prayed. I'm still praying. And this is something really good about a problem. It humbles us. I thought I was somewhat humble. Maybe not. But I have so many reasons to be humble because God's been so good to me. And the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Oh, that's another step. Better not get ahead of myself. So I prayed. And here's the scripture I want to give you. It's a beautiful scripture from Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. And you say, what? You know, this is the old King James English, right? He's not saying, because Christianity teaches us to be careful about everything. Think about it. The scriptures teach us to be careful about everything. But the old word in the King James means anxious. I'm going to prove it. Be careful for nothing. The old word, careful. Okay. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this problem. Oh, I better not get ahead of myself. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen to it from the Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. How many of you remember Pastor talking about where we get the word worry? Anybody remember this? Brother Dinkins, you've got such a great memory. And you're such an awesome note taker. So he's probably, how many of you remember me talking about the, was it etymology of the word worry, where we get it from? We get the word worry from an old Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle. So when I worry, I'm basically saying I don't trust God. And when I worry, it strangles my worship. It strangles my praise. What are you teaching on, Pastor? What to do in an emergency. I am in the middle of a bad one that I cannot tell you about right now. And I've been doing several things, and the Holy Ghost seemed to impress me today to share what I'm doing with you, because I feel like I have some victory, even though I could be very, very much. In matter of fact, I could have decided not to come to church today and just been working on this. I ain't going to miss church. I better not get ahead of myself. That's coming. Okay. So my next point is refuse to panic. Do not fret. See, so I'm building that on that scripture we just covered, Philippians 4, 6. Do not panic. I bought a book years ago from a Holy Ghost filled author. And he was an engineer and, you know, talks in tongues and prays and believes for miracles. But I'll never forget the statement that he would say in his book. He would say this: panic is for pagans. All, it comes down 20, 30 some years. It comes down to preach to me. Panic is for pagans. It's not for saints. It's for pagans. Do not panic in your emergency. Lean into God. Lean into Him. All right. How are we doing? Is there any help that's been thrown out yet? A lot of this I got to keep doing. Even while I'm ministering, I'm sending up a prayer. See, in everything, you know, in everything. And I pray about everything. Don't fret. You're going to like the, what's the next one? Number four? Somewhere around number four? Communicate. In other words, don't carry it by yourself. That's a trap. Now, I'm not saying call me every time the mole on your chin acts up. or a corn on your big toe is asking for permission to hurt. I'm not asking you to call you. And you know what? We're good at, we're good at this. I am telling you this, that sometimes when you keep it, see, none of us have any personal pride beside me, right? See, I wanted to make that accurate so the Lord could bless it. I have way too much. I mean, like, I just don't want nobody to know, you know, when I'm hurting or I don't, you know, you're not like that. Okay, you're looking at me. Oh, yeah, you do the same thing. Quit that sanctified. Okay. We have so much pride. I don't mean the pride. I'm better than you. I mean, it's like, it's different. There are different. Pride has 1,000 faces. And one of them is when we don't want anybody to know when we're hurting. And we try to carry stuff by ourselves. But you see, there's something to be said about communicating. So what did I do? I called my wife! I called her later about it, but I told her about it before I left the house for prayer. She's so awesome. She's one of the biggest encouragers in my life. And I don't think I was discouraged. I'm just, you know, needing some peace, and I'm needing some, you know, here, share this with me. So I talked to her. I waited for a while, Brother Dinkins, before I called you. Hurry, get up, Steve. I need to talk to you about something. I need to talk to you really bad. He finally calls me. Sometimes he's so busy and he needs his rest desperately. He's involved in a business that's exploding, and he runs around and helps us so much in our church with so many things. I called my friend, my sidekick. I'm sorry. Of course, I called Tim to handle the other emergency. So here's my, there's a reason why they are board members. See, I pick the guys that can solve the most problems, and I say, you're my board members. Okay. You are designated helpers in every emergency that comes my way. The two grand wonderful men. So communicate. Don't carry it by yourself. Here's a little verse. Philippians 4, verse 14. And this is something that Paul said was really interesting. He was writing it back to the church in Philippi. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. And when you read a little more about that story, there were a number of things that church did to help Paul. He had uno problema. And some of it had to do for him with needs and finances and you know, these kind of things. So instead of just not sharing it, evidently he shared it with a few, you know, churches. Of course, he had watchful care over many of the churches of Asia. And they communicated not only with him, they communicated with his affliction. So, and then of course, it's all instructional and helpful to us. He didn't just keep it to himself. There are people here, you're in a lot of pain. And the reason why, one of the reasons why is you're afraid to admit, oh, please know I mean this in great love, great care. Really don't even, I don't mean it in any criticism. You're embarrassed by your own weakness, by your own inability to get the victory by yourself. And I want you to know something. Just because you have a problem doesn't mean we don't hugely love you. It won't change our love for you one bit. Why don't we thank God that we're loved? Let's just thank him that we're loved. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you and praise you for the constancy of your love, for the consistency of your affection for us, even on terrible days, even in the midst of trials and storms. You are a loving, kind God. This beautiful song that they sang 3,000 times, but it just ministered to me. And what was that about? Thank God for your mercy. Can I tell you this? That if we're not careful, because we're conservative. I mean, I'm conservative. You're conservative. I'm not teaching you some of the convictions I have, because some of them are personal. But I got to remember that in my conservative take on life, I don't want my conservatism to be a platform for judgmentalism. And if we're not careful, being conservative Pentecostals, we can become so, not that I don't think this is a big problem here, I'll just say it though, that we can be hard and tough on everybody. And I've discovered this: if you throw out a lot of mercy when it's your time to get some, it's coming your way. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5. So whatever that's worth, there will be a day when you're going to need a lot of mercy. For different reasons. A lot of mercy. So please hand it out. And don't charge people. And don't give them a receipt. Or ask for one. Okay. Here we go. Communicate. So I also began to do this because I thought of a scripture. See, the scriptures are there to help train us in how to respond to life's idiosyncrasies. That comes from the word idiot. You understand? The idiotic things that happen. Okay, so here we go. In everything. Oh, I wish it said, when you're through it and you're on the other side. Why did it have to say, why did it have to put that preposition in? Because it's so hard to do this when you're in it. When you're in the doo-doo, you know, when you're in the hot water, when you're trying to get it off your shoe. I stepped in some mud the other day, had my really nice shoes on. Well, I've been doing this half the week, you know. Oh, praise God, it's good to be here. Looks like I'm trying to start my engines. Some days you're just going to step in it. Why? Because it was there. And you just happened to be there too. And sometimes that's why bad stuff happens to us, because we were there. And so was this other stuff. Okay. Thank God for the problem. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know God's will for you right now. It's to give him thanks. In when you're in it, not when you're past it, not 3 years after the trial, when you're in the storm, you're in the problem, you're in the trauma, and you're in pain, give him thanks. Okay. Is that all right? Am I helping anybody at all? I thought, well, what I'm doing, maybe somebody would forget one of these. And one of these steps might be the one that saves you. Saves your situation. Okay. Now, you're going to appreciate the next one, I think. I renewed my repentance. Well, think with me. Now you say, well, you're doing some real... No. You know, no. I'm living for God, but I just wanted to check up on myself. Lord, have I done something? See, we're afraid. We check up everybody. You know, it's like that lady that married the guy that was a study of the ancient, you know, ruins and stuff. He was an archaeologist. And it was so awesome, because she felt like, the older I get, the more interest he's going to have in me. Took you a while. All right. You did good. Took you less than a year. Okay, that's awesome. He's going to have more and more interest in me. He's an archaeologist. He's into studying ruins. Just don't get ruined too quickly. Okay. So See, if thank you. If what would we do without cell phones? Been tempted just to have them all go off at the same time and have a little symphony here, you know. But Carnegie Hall, starring craziness. Okay. Don't be afraid to check up on yourself. You get home, you know, and you guys are going to hang up your slacks, and you notice that you sat in some gum, and you've been walking around in a meeting, business meeting, with gum all over the back of your pants. How many of you remember my story about the blue toothpaste? Beautiful sweater. You remember, Vicky? Beautiful sweater. I mean, this gorgeous sweater, wintertime, Wisconsin, where they manufacture winter. And I'm over at Hardee's, and I saw people, and I'm greeting people, and I was God's man of faith and power. I get home and look in the mirror, and a great big old gob of blue toothpaste. I mean, why couldn't it have been down here in the corner, you know, just covered up? In a, I mean, if you're gonna wear toothpaste, just wear it proud. It's awesome. That man dresses in toothpaste. He's awesome. So check up on yourself. Check up on your heart. Like, Lord, am I doing anything to bring? I just want to make sure that I'm not, I mean, that I didn't help kind of, you know, attract this. Did you plead the blood? Yes, I did. I pled the blood of Jesus over the situation. Revelation 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12. I pled the blood of Jesus over. But I also just checked up on my repentance. Acts 3 verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when, and this is good for us, when the times of refreshing. What do you mean? I mean, when we're stressed, you know, there's the best dressed list and there's the best stressed list. And if we're not on the first one, we're probably on the second one. Yeah. Best stressed. And we're living in a day when stress is like, it could be sliced, put on plates, and sold for a fundraiser. Everybody's got stress. Okay. So it says here, if you repent, the times of refreshing. Why are you happy, Pastor? I've been praying and checking myself out, you know, trying to make sure that I'm not doing anything to attract this. Okay, just trying to be honest with the Lord. I couldn't find it, but I just want to make sure. Okay, times are refreshing. He will refresh you if you will renew. Do you remember what Jason Razor did here? That fiery, anointed evangelist just a couple weeks ago. What did he do just before he prayed for us? He led us in repentance. Amen. It's not a bad thing to humble ourselves and ask God for forgiveness. It may be something you don't even know about. I could tell you a few things about that, but I'll go on. Okay. Now the next step, what am I, 5, 6? Tell me how many, I didn't number these. How many steps? That's how fast I put this together. Is this number 6? Amber says 7. Jasmine says 10. But see, we understand, Jasmine. Okay, whatever number it is on your page or in your phone or your tablet, this is a real important one too, and I'm going to call it this. Ask the question. When you're knee deep in alligators, ask the question. And let me tell you what happens with us as people. Too often we're asking the wrong question. Here's what we often say. Oh, and we say it with that whiny, you know, this, I mean, if the Holy Ghost was close to us, it is now in Afghanistan when God hears us talk like this. God, why did this happen to me? Saint of God, anointed vessel. Why? You know, we get that whine. That song does not say there'll be pouting on the hills. It says shouting. ask the question. What is the question? The question is this. What? See, again, it's not why. It's what are you trying to teach me in this mess?
I pause. That is an amazing question.
And most folks never ask it. Like, for instance, I heard of something that really rough that happened to somebody. Okay, not long ago. Okay. And because I know their situation quite well, I felt like the Lord showed me why. I want to be real careful with that because you can miss it, you know. Not so that I could, but so I could pray for them and maybe give them some counseling in the near future. Because that person, you know, is somebody that I know and love. In my spirit, and this doesn't happen all the time, but once in a while, when I look upon or hear or of somebody's emergency, not all the time, but once in a while, I'll know in my spirit why it's happening. God be praised. You know, it doesn't work outside him. And it doesn't work to make me boastful. It works to make me careful. And it works to put me in a position where maybe I can help them understand something. In other words, okay. To God, the question is, I promise you. See, Romans, what does Romans 8:28 say? See, we just want to get out of the mess. See, we don't want to extract the lesson. There is a hidden lesson and sometimes several of them. And if all we're wanting is extraction, please send the helicopter fast. It's called extraction. I want out of... That's why I don't believe in preaching the soon coming of the Lord like, oh, the real answer to everything is just get us out of the world, Lord. No, that's not the answer. The answer is let's have revival and change this world some before we get out of here. Lift your hand with me right now in Jesus' name. Would you do it? Lord God, give me grace. Give me anointing. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Help me to make a difference in somebody's life, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here, Lord, and to have friends and family, Lord, and folks that, Lord, you've given us favor with. Great God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Okay. So, I'm asking God, Lord, are you teaching me something? I want you to know I'm listening. You have my attention. I'm not asking for extraction. I want to know, because you know, I know if I don't get the lesson on this level, the tuition goes up. Everybody, you understand that? About tuition? If you don't get it on that level, it doesn't get weak, it gets more intense. What does the scripture say in the Old Testament? Somebody look this scripture up for me. It's in Exodus. And the trumpet sounded louder and louder. And the trumpet sounded louder and louder and louder. It got more intense. It got more noisy. If God doesn't get your attention or my attention on level 2, he'll take it up to level 5. If you don't get it on level 5, he'll take it up to level 8. If you don't get it on level 8, we might be visiting you somewhere where you're somewhat restrained. Okay, just a thought. Thank you for the problem, Lord. And Father, I am, Lord, just in case, if there's something I'm doing, please forgive me. Lord, wash me in your blood. And Father, are you trying to teach me something? What is the lesson here? I'm asking what instead of why. Why did this happen? God hates it when we whine. Do you have kids that whine? Are you into winemaking?
No.
I'm sorry. That's spelled W-H-I-N-E, winemaking. Okay, you know, sour grapes. You know what I mean? It makes wine, W-H-I-N-E. Sour grapes make good wine, W-H-I-N-E. Okay. We have something from our marriage that fits into there, but you've heard the story, so I won't belabor it. What are you teaching me? What's the lesson? Because I want to get it, because I know that the tuition can go up. So I would just as soon understand it on the level where we are right now. All right. Here's one that I like. You ready for this? Hope you're taking good notes. Lord being my helper, I started doing this. Use your faith. I'm going to go over the steps again because I don't know if I'm going too fast. Stop and think clearly. Don't let your mind or your imagination run away with you. Pray and ask for God's help. Refuse to panic. Communicate with somebody that can help. Thank God for the problem. Renew your repentance. Ask the question. And now it is, use your faith. Here's some of my favorite faith verses. All right. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Isn't that beautiful? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Powerful verse there, verse 23, verse 24 of Mark 11. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe that ye receive them. Okay, so faith, and then this ability to watch what we say and to try to put restraints, try to get our faith in our word, our mouth. You know, sometimes people get caught in a mouth trap. Did you know that's in the Bible? Hey, this is a freebie, Sister Gwen. Take me to Proverbs chapter 6 and let me try on verse 2. See if my mind's working. If it is, it's a bonus. Some people get caught in a mouth trap. I used to catch mice, Brother Albert. My aunt and my grandmother hired me for them. You know, when we were little kids, I was the hunter. And I would set traps. This is how I made some of my income. I'd set traps in their house. And I would come to check the traps. Kind of, I think one of my forebears was a fur trader. Though the fur be small and thin, it counts. It's a mouse. And if I remember the bounty, in those days, this is when a quarter could actually buy something. You know, actually buy something meaningful. Like a house. No. But like some candy bars, stuff like that. Coffee went for about a nickel a cup. Seriously. Because I wasn't into drinking coffee when I was that young. But there were possibilities there. Okay. The bounty hunter. I would come and I would find those mice, you know, caught in my traps. So I see people caught in a mouth trap. It's like, well, since I have a problem, I think I'll let the devil rent my mouth. This is extra. Refuse to become a complainer. Nobody loves the company of a griper, not even gripers. That's new. I never thought of that till just then. Nobody loves a griper. I don't think we have any here. I hope. I don't, you know. So, if you want God's help, refuse, boss your mouth. Boss it. Thank you, Bruce Springsteen, for letting me borrow that. Boss your mouth. Okay, mouth. What did Job say? Scripture say about him? He refused to sin with his mouth. The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. And his wife said, honey, baby, why would you just curse God and die? Hush up! Hush up! Baby doll! Zip it! Why don't you just curse God and die? That's the worst counsel I've ever heard in my life. The Bible says he refused. See, he bossed his mouth. Oh, Proverbs. Did you get it? Proverbs 6. Sister Gwen, this is a freebie. This wasn't on the scripture sheet. Give me the first couple, three verses of Proverbs 6, if you can. Proverbs chapter 6. This was not in that long list I gave thee. My best King James. Okay. Verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 2, the next verse. Thou art snared with what? Caught in a mouth trap. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. So Jesus is saying here in these verses, if you will believe, well, he commanded us to have faith, didn't he? Have faith in God. Of course, in the Greek, have the faith of God. Have the God-like faith. 10 times in Genesis 1, every time it says, and God said, when he spoke something, it appeared. Amen. He turns around and says, I've made you in my image. Now you go and talk right. He speaks to a fig tree and curses it, but he tells us to speak to mountains. I spoke to fig trees. You speak to mountains. Greater works than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father. Woo! Ah! That's energizing. Instead of talking the problem all day and night and wondering why no miracles come, stop talking the problem. I mean, there's a certain point where you communicate and then you lean back over into the lap of God and believe him. Use your faith. Here's what I was doing. While I was praying about this emergency that I'm in, I've got people here that can verify to you that I am in an emergency. I began to command some things. I don't know if it worked. I'm hoping it does. Because if it doesn't, I am bacon. I'm fried. You fry bacon, right? So, but I will tell you this, that when I was doing that, speaking into it in a commanding, I felt the unction of God kind of shift in me, like he was pleased with what I was doing. That's the main thing. I want him pleased with me. Okay, so use your mouth like the weapon God made it to be. Don't use it on yourself. Use it on the problem. Use it in the emergency to work for you. See, they walked in with guns and killed 14 people. We're still trying to figure out why. Now we know a lot more. And ISIS has claimed that those two in San Bernardino were theirs. But you can take those same guns and go out and shoot some deer. I saw hunters all over the place this last week or so. I was afraid to go out in the woods and pray. I mean, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to be on the next load out. Understand what I'm saying? So you can take that same gun, hurt some, or you can take that mouth, that weapon, and use it to bring something home. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a praise break. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my challenges. Thank you for my emergencies. Thank you for every storm. Thank you for every trial. Thank you, Lord. I'm in your hands. We can't control everything, but Lord, we are your kids. And God, we say in simple faith, that something good is coming out of this. Something good is about to happen. The Lord is blessing us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise, God. I worship you. Thank you so much for trusting us with this crisis. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, wonderful thing to pray? Thank you, God, for trusting me with this trauma. Because he won't lay anything more on you than you can bear. According to 1 Corinthians 10:13. So, 1 Corinthians 10:13. So, thank you, Lord, for trusting me with this problem. Then I went to church. Oh, I just destroyed one of the biggest, fattest reasons not to go to church. Why? I have a problem. No, you don't have a problem. You are the problem. And you know, we got people here. You're in some pain, maybe. You didn't let it keep you out of church. You came to church and you worshiped. You know what? That touched his heart. Because anybody can worship when everything is hunky-dory. Everything is el perfecto. Easy to praise God. But when you're in pain and you're praising him, when you're not sure how it's all going to work out, but you're praising him, don't you know that's called the sacrifice of praise? Come on, Brother Bob, lift your hand and wave it a little bit. That whoosh-ha, wee-ha.
Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Sister Joy worried about her sister. Recovering from her accident last night. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Touch my pastor, whip. No, Lord, bless him, bless him. And I really, Jesus' name. How many of you have ever, in the last year or so, had some emergencies? Okay. Don't let it keep you out of church. Now, there's a second person. Sister Peggy had a healing. I think it's in the bulletin, isn't it? It happened to her while she was listening to the preaching of the word. God touched her and healed her of a certain malady. A lot of pain there, so on. I believe it was in your right kidney, wasn't it? And it disappeared during the preaching of a message from God. The Lord, I think the message was on healing, wasn't it? So the man's preaching on healing, and all of all the audacity, the Holy Ghost shows up. And heals somebody. Brother Dinkins got healed during the preaching of the word, a message on healing. He confirms the word with signs following. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please put something out there that he can confirm? He can't confirm zero. Any more than you can. He confirms the word according to Mark 16. He confirms the word. So put some word with your mouth. Put some word out there. All right? And then get to church. Go to church. To pray some more. To worship some more. Fight. Can I say this now? Because we have a meeting usually on Tuesday. It's a leadership meeting. And guess what we have? We have to go over finances, pay bills, and we have a little sheet called accountability report. And right in the middle of that sheet, I wish I could show you one, it's the folks that were absent, right? Guess what that's been running of late? Oh, roughly about 30. About a third of our church gone on any given Sunday. If we were all here, we'd have to kick out a wall or two. That might not be a bad idea anyway. What are you saying? I'm saying get your back arched. Yes, keep your job if you can. Don't let it take you out of church if it doesn't have to. You say, well, I'm tired. I promise you, if you will come tired and let us pray for you, you will feel better by the time you walk out the door. I promise you that, or you're offering back. Many of you, you just work your heart out, and you're all, you want to hear the truth from me? Many times I come to church on a Wednesday night, I have been counseling, I've been studying, I've been praying, I'm exhausted, but now it's really time to minister. I thought I already was. And by the time I left here, I had to put my landing gear down so I could get to my car, so I could land, and get back in my car. Because by the time you blessed me with your worship and God blessed me with his presence and all the kind things that you say at us. And, I was like, wee! T
TWA, leaving gate six.
Six is the number of man. Okay, okay. Don't stop going to church when you have a problem. That's when you need to go even more. How do you do that? You can come over here between services and pray. It's a thought. Smile, it's a thought, it's a thought. Okay. Okay, I'm almost done. I love this next one. You ready? Don't waste your crisis. Why would you want to waste a storm? How do I waste it? By not pulling out of it something that could help you. Don't waste your storm. Don't waste your crisis. Who's ever heard of a pastor in the middle of an emergency and decides to preach on it? He's a nice man. He's a little crazy, you know. He eats too much of pizza. He's a little crazy, you know, but he means well. He means well. I'm feeling kind of crazy because I'm in the middle of an emergency, but it hasn't stopped me preaching. This is so fresh. This is like fresh bread to me because I've never taught this before. But I thought, wow, Lord, are you sure? And then he began to quicken scriptures to me. You want me to teach on? He began to quicken thoughts and scriptures to me. I thought, okay, I'm going to help somebody. You had a crisis. Didn't you guys have some kind of crisis this last week or two? You know, when he gave this to me, I wasn't thinking, oh, yes, I've got my family's in crisis. I don't know who's in the middle of some, but I know this. God loves us, and his love doesn't change when we're in trouble. His love doesn't change when we're in pain. His love doesn't change because we're stressed out. Look at Sister Amber. She could come in here and just be honoring, you know, and just. You ever? I keep catching her smiling. And she needs a job so desperately. She's leaning into God. She's got two precious little girls to take care of. And I mean, they are precious. They're like my, well, they are my grandkids. I don't mind telling you, that's how I see them. They're my grandkids. We've adopted them. But she's worshiping and she's singing and she's praising and she's smiling and she. Don't let nobody steal your smile. You ought to get good smileage out of one tank of Holy Ghost. And if you'll keep on smiling, somebody will ask you why you are, and then you can witness to the fact that God is helping you in the middle of a problem. To keep the victory. Would you lift your hands and praise him together? Woo! Praise my God. Praise my God. Praise your name, Lord. I thank you for trusting us. I thank you for this emergency. I thank you that you're helping us, Lord. I thank you that your wisdom is flowing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that somebody is going to get an idea that will help them in the midst of their struggle, Lord. Encourage people, I pray. Wonderful God, encourage people. Don't waste your crisis. Let me tell you what happened to my old superintendent, my district superintendent. His name is John Grant. Who is John Grant? Well, he was my superintendent for about probably around 17 years. Something like that. Maybe 15, 16, somewhere there. About 17 years. One of the greatest Bible camp teachers that we have in our movement is John Grant. Did he have some problems? I'd say he did. His son committed suicide. Just, you know, a few little things. There were some other serious heart-rending things like that that broke his heart and broke his wife's heart. His son was backslidden. Lost his marriage. Threw away his life. On a trip into, I believe it was the Dakotas, they found his vehicle. But Brother Grant didn't change his faith, didn't change his heart, unless it made it even better, and that's kind of If I could tell you the truth, it's kind of hard to believe that it could be made better because he's such an awesome man. But he had some pain. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was something, I believe it was his left arm. And there was this preacher in his life. His name is J.T. Pugh. My good brother. Yes, sir. J.T. He said to Brother Grant, John, you need to go have that arm looked at. He's got a problem. He's in some pain. And he's got a crisis developing. And his preacher friend helped convince him that he needed to go and have some tests done. Brother Grant's church ran 200 and something for years until he came through some of these crises. And then because he handled them right, God knew he could trust him with growth and revival. He's running over 1,000 today. Okay. Amen. One of the biggest churches that we have in the Midwest. He didn't throw his ticket away just because the train was going through a tunnel. The devil doesn't want you to understand the temporary of most things that happen to us. He wants you to believe they're permanent, but they're temporary. Temp, you know, as in temperature. Hot, fiery trials. So, Brother Grant decided he'd go, and get a test done on his arm, right? And when he does, he discovers he has colon cancer. Don't waste your problem. It might open the door for you to understand that you have something that has to be solved that's even bigger than your original trauma. See, he gets his arm examined, but while they're examining him physically, they discover he's got colon cancer. Well, he didn't know that. And because he didn't know it, but all of a sudden he did know it, he's alive today. Hello. Don't waste your trouble. Don't waste your problem. Don't waste a misunderstanding. Don't waste any pain. Lift your hands and let's love God. Oh my Lord Jesus. As our musician comes, oh praise God. What to do in an emergency? What to do when you're in trouble? What to do when you're in pain? What to do when you're in the thick of things and you're not quite sure what the next step is? You're not quite sure. Slow yourself down. Get your thoughts clear. Think clearly. Don't let the devil kidnap your mind. Then begin to pray and ask for God's help, God's direction. Refuse to panic. Communicate. Share it with folks that can be praying for you and might have some wisdom for you. Thank God for the problem. Renew your repentance. Oh, Lord, I just want to make sure there's nothing in me that's wrong. Ask the question, what are you trying to teach me in the middle of this craziness? What are you trying to teach me? Use your faith and speak to mountains. Speak to the problem. Speak in faith and believe that God will help you. Don't stop going to church. Go to church even more. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't waste your problem. Look for something that can come out of it. Don't waste your crisis. It might be that God gets you to look at your life a little bit more closely and you discover there's something even more serious that needs to be remedied. It could save your life. Your present problem could save your life. And last but not least, from Psalms 125, verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. You see that? They that trust in the Lord. I refuse I refuse to let this problem make me unstable. I refuse to let this problem make me unstable and inconsistent. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Does this sound like stability? Which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. My last idea is simply this. Continue to believe and trust God. Jesus, thank you so much for your help, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for wisdom that's coming to us. Would you say that with me? Thank you for answers. Thank you for wisdom that's coming to me, Lord. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Wonderful God, thank you. Thank you for answers. Thank you for direction, Lord. Thank you for teaching me something in the midst of this storm. Thank you for teaching me something. I bind every lying spirit that has condemned somebody. I bind every unclean spirit that has influenced somebody to think less of God or less of themselves or less of others. I bind every lying spirit. I take authority over every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus that has tormented somebody in this building that's living for God and trying to do the very best that they can do. I loose the peace of God in this house. We loose the peace of God in this house. Woo, hallelujah. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hallelujah. I loose answers. I loose supernatural faith. Ooh, catch something. It's coming at you. I loose faith in Jesus' name. I loose insight in the name of Jesus. I loose insight. Mushikatara mashondo. In the name of the Lord God, I loose revelation. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Wonderful God. Go ahead. Let the Lord pray in you. Let the Holy Ghost pray in you. The Holy Ghost always prays a perfect prayer. Thank you, Lord. Throw down your pride. Open your heart. Admit you need God's help. That's okay. We're all human beings. He's here. He loves us. And when we're honest, we open up, amen, rivers of blessing. When we're honest with God and we're honest with each other, we open up rivers of blessing, resources, possibilities, potentialities. Oh, God, we really do need you for all things. Hallelujah. Anybody speak Spanish really good? Melissa, do you speak it? You speak it better than I do. Have you ever heard the word bastando? Brother Albert, do you know what bastando means? Bastando. Have you ever heard the word bastando? Bastando. Spanish word? Bastando. Does it sound familiar? Bastando. I hear myself saying that when I'm praying in tongues from time to time. So I thought, well, I've got 2 years of Spanish and I forgot most of it, but I remembered some of it. So I'm using almost every day my Spanish. Es una lengua muy importante porque hay mucha gente que habla en español acerca de la ciudad. There's a lot of people around our town that speak it, see? So it's very important, muy importante. So I'm thinking, what does bastando? Because I'm always hearing it in when I'm praying in tongues. Now, this is what I discovered. I thought, well, I'm gonna use Google. Thank you, Google. I'm going to Google bastando. And I still haven't totally figured it out yet, but I got close, and here's how close I got. I learned that the word bastar, B-A-S-T-A-R, means something about to be enough. To be enough. Is that my close? I don't know if you've used that word, brother. Yeah. Yeah. It's got to come back to bastar. Well, bastar means to be enough. So I'm thinking, oh, what are you trying? What are you? Holy Ghost, what are you saying in me? Are you saying whatever you're going through, bastando, like something happening, a verb, you know, like, I am enough for you. I am enough. I am more. I am more for you. I am enough for you. Bastando. Listen to what you say when you're praying in tongues. You say, you're so crazy. Yeah, I guess so. Just crazy enough to believe God. And believe that he's more than that old song. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Bastando. He's more than enough. He's more. He's more than enough. Bastando. Bastar. To be more. To be more than enough. Hallelujah. Whatever inner healing, woundedness that you carry, I have a word for you. Bastando. He's more. Bastar. He's more. Why I keep hearing that? And the Holy Ghost is trying to tell me. I'm trying to tell you something. You handle a lot of stuff, Pastor. But I'm more than enough. I think you'd like to say that to you, too. You got a lot on your plate? You're all stressed out. Bastando. I'm more than enough, he says. I wish this brother Noah sings. I wish somebody could have the courage to walk down here and admit that you need some help, you need some wisdom, you need some direction, you need some healing. Bastando. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. The healer's in the house. The helper's in the house. He's more. More. Than enough. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. He's more than enough.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord.